Chapter 6. The Publishing Work at College View. Loma Linda, California, August 24, 1905. I approve of the efforts that have been made to establish our German and Scandinavian publishing work at College View. I hope that plans will be devised for the encouragement and strengthening of this work. The whole burden of the work must not be left with our foreign brethren. Nor should our brethren throughout the field leave too heavy a load on the conferences near College View. The members of these conferences should lead out and do their best, and all should come to their assistance. The truth is to be proclaimed to all nations and kindreds and tongues and peoples. Our German and Danish and Swedish brethren have no good reason for not being able to act in harmony in the publishing work. Those who believe the truth should remember that they are God's little children under His training. Let them be thankful to God for His manifold mercies and be kind to one another. They have one God and one Savior, and one Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is to bring unity into their ranks. After His resurrection, Christ ascended to heaven, and He is today presenting our needs to the Father. I have graven them upon the palms of my hands, he says. It cost something to engrave them there. It cost untold agony. If we would humble ourselves before God and be kind and courteous and tender-hearted and pitiful, there would be 100 conversions to the truth where now there is only one. But though professing to be converted, we carry round with us a bundle of self that we regard as altogether too precious to be given up. It is our privilege to lay this burden at the feet of Christ, and in its place take the character and similitude of Christ. The Savior is waiting for us to do this. Christ laid aside His royal robe, His kingly crown, and His high command, and stepped down, down, down to the lowest depths of humiliation. Bearing human nature, He met all the temptations of humanity, and in our behalf defeated the enemy on every point. All this He did that He might bring men power by which they might be overcomers. All power, He says, is given unto me. Matthew 28, verse 18. And this He gives to all who will follow Him. They may demonstrate to the world the power that there is in the religion of Christ for the conquest of self. Learn of me, Christ says, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Why do we not learn of the Savior every day? Why do we not live in constant communion with Him, so that in our connection with one another we can speak and act kindly and courteously? Why do we not honor the Lord by manifesting tenderness and love for one another? If we speak and act in harmony with the principles of heaven, unbelievers will be drawn to Christ by their association with us. Christ's relation to nationality. Christ recognized no distinction of nationality or rank or creed. The scribes and Pharisees desired to make a local and a national benefit of all the gifts of heaven, and to exclude the rest of God's family in the world. But Christ came to break down every wall of partition. He came to show that His gift of mercy and love is as unconfined as the air, the light, or the showers of rain that refresh the earth. The life of Christ established a religion in which there is no caste, a religion by which Jew and Gentile, free and bond, are linked in a common brotherhood, equal before God. No question of policy influenced His movements. He made no difference between neighbors and strangers, friends and enemies. That which appealed to His heart was a soul thirsting for the waters of life. He passed no human being by as worthless, but sought to apply the healing remedy to every soul. In whatever company He found Himself, He presented a lesson appropriate to the time and the circumstances. Every neglect or insult shown by men to their fellow men only made him more conscious of their need of his divine human sympathy. He sought to inspire with hope the roughest and most unpromising, setting before them the assurance that they might become blameless and harmless, attaining such a character as would make them the children of God. A sure foundation. Wherefore the rather, brethren, says the Apostle Peter, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 10-11. Years ago, when the company of believers in the soon coming of Christ was very small, the Sabbath keepers at Topsham, Maine, met for worship in the large kitchen in the home of Brother Stockbridge Howland. One Sabbath morning, Brother Howland was absent. We were surprised at this because he was always so punctual. Soon he came in, his face aglow, shining with the glory of God. "Brethren," he said, "I have found it. I have found that we can pursue a course of action regarding which the guarantee of God's word is, ye shall never fall. I am going to tell you about it." He then told us that he had noticed that one brother, a poor fisherman, had been feeling that he was not as highly respected as he ought to be, and that Brother Howland and others thought themselves above him. This was not true, but it seemed true to him, and for several weeks he had not attended the meetings. So Brother Howland went to his house and knelt before him, saying, "My brother, forgive me. What is it that I have done?" The man took him by the arm and tried to raise him to his feet. "No," said Brother Howland, "what have you against me? I have nothing against you." "But you must have," said Brother Howland, "because once we could speak to one another, but now you do not speak to me at all, and I want to know what is the matter." "Get up, Brother Howland," he said. "No," said Brother Howland, "I will not." "Then I must get down," he said. And he fell on his knees and confessed how childish he had been and how many evil surmisings he had cherished. "And now," he said, "I will put them all away." As Brother Howland told this story, his face shone with the glory of the Lord. Just as he had finished, the fisherman and his family came in, and we had an excellent meeting. Suppose that some of us should follow the course pursued by Brother Howland. If, when our brethren surmise evil, we would go to them saying, "Forgive me if I have done anything to harm you," we might break the spell of Satan and set our brethren free from their temptations. Do not let anything interpose between you and your brethren. If there is anything that you can do by sacrifice to clear away the rubbish of suspicion, do it. God wants us to love one another as brethren. He wants us to be pitiful and courteous. He wants us to educate ourselves to believe that our brethren love us and to believe that Christ loves us. Love begets love. Do we expect to meet our brethren in heaven? If we can live with them here in peace and harmony, we could live with them there. But how could we live with them in heaven if we cannot live with them here without continual contention and strife? Those who are following a course of action that separates them from their brethren and brings in discord and dissension need a thorough conversion. Our hearts must be melted and subdued by the love of Christ. We must cherish the love that He showed in dying for us on the cross of Calvary. We need to draw closer and closer to the Savior. We should be much in prayer, and we must learn to exercise faith. We must be more tender-hearted, more pitiful and courteous. We shall pass through this world but once. And shall we not strive to leave on those with whom we associate the impress of the character of Christ? Our hard hearts need to be broken. We need to come together in perfect unity, and we need to realize that we are the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let each one say, "He gave his life for me," and he wants me, as I go through this world, to reveal the love that he revealed in giving himself for us. Christ bore our sins in his own body on the cross, that God might be just and yet the justifier of those who believe in him. There is life, eternal life, for all who will surrender to Christ. I want to see the King in his beauty. I want to behold his matchless charms. I want you to behold him too. Christ will lead his redeemed ones beside the river of life and will explain to them all that perplexed them in this world. The mysteries of grace will unfold before them. Where their finite minds discerned only confusion and broken purposes, they will see the most perfect and beautiful harmony. Let us serve God with all our capabilities, with all our intelligence. Our intelligence will increase as we make use of that which we have. Our religious experience will strengthen as we bring it into the daily life. Thus, we shall climb round after round of the ladder reaching to heaven, until at last we step off the topmost round into the kingdom of God. Let us be Christians in this world. Then we shall have eternal life in the kingdom of glory.